The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Dumb Luck.
Oliver.
Huh?
I looked out the window. Now what?
Read your movie magazine.
I read it.
We'll go in the club car and have a drink.
I didn't.
Amy, I am trying to read the newspaper.
We should have flew, Oliver.
What?
In the airplane. This takes too long. What are you reading?
Well, I'm reading about a Texas millionaire who dropped dead 2 days ago and left $3.5 million to a college with 175 students.
How much is that apiece?
Oh, Amy.
What are you reading about dead people for? That's morbid.
Amy, go buy another movie magazine.
Why about dead people, Oliver?
Because my little idiot girl,
I don't think you should call me that. Even joking.
Well, because, my dear, I don't see any reason why that college should get all of the Texas millionaire's money. I'd like some of it myself.
Who wouldn't? Hasn't he got relatives?
Not a one.
Poor guy.
Yeah, it's very sad.
So how would you get some of that money?
Well, I don't know his background yet, but he was only 49, and it's always possible that he secretly promised to marry or even married some poor girl and then died without ever mentioning that fact to the executors of his estate.
He had a girl?
Well, it's possible, isn't it? And when this poor, deceived little thing reads in the paper he's dead, naturally she's going to turn up with her lawyer and with letters in Charlie's handwriting.
Charlie who?
The millionaire, Charlie Emmett.
He deceived her, huh?
Well, it's possible.
So where is she now?
Well, she may be right here in this compartment, for all I know.
Where?
You, dear.
I never even heard of the guy till you mentioned him. As a matter of fact...
Yes, dear.
I get it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I'm her.
That's right.
And you're my lawyer.
Right again.
Well, how much could we get out of it, Oliver?
Well, if it worked, enough to buy you a reversible mink coat.
Whoever heard of it? You're teasing. It'd be too hot, a mink coat on both sides.
Yeah, it probably would, yes.
Let me see the paper.
I told you what was in it.
I know, but if my boyfriend dropped dead all of a sudden, at least I ought to read his notices.
Oliver Dean Santley, wanted by our bureau for fraud and forgery, was one of the most intelligent swindlers in the business. During his various prison terms, he studied law, practiced penmanship, read avidly on every subject under the sun, and prepared himself for more swindles. His campaign to defraud the estate of Charles Emmett of Texas was researched down to the minutest detail. He spent days on county records, looked up old newspapers, visited every town the Texas man had lived in. With a full background and his girl Amy standing by, Santley called on the executors of the Emmett estate.
And then he showed me these letters from Charlie to the girl. I just wouldn't believe it. I thought I knew all about Charlie.
Are you sure, sir?
Well, naturally, I asked him some very pertinent questions. Oh, he has the facts, Arthur.
But how did Mr. Emmett...
Of course, that's the first thing I wanted to know. How did Charlie manage to keep it secret? And why? Well, the why is simple. He didn't intend to keep it secret.
Mm-hmm.
She lived in California, and he was going to bring her here. Of course, she was associated with some nightclub, but Charlie obviously intended to marry her on his next trip west.
This lawyer who represents her...
He's a California man, but really seems quite competent. He studied our statutes thoroughly.
Well, what is she asking for, sir?
Well, we didn't come to specific terms, but it sounded like 200,000 or 300,000. My guess is that we'll finally agree on something between 10,000 and 20,000.
Of course, sir, the estate is not legally liable in a matter like this.
I know it isn't, and so does her lawyer. He's presenting her claim, quite frankly, on a nuisance basis. Save the estate bad publicity and save embarrassment to the university.
I suppose that is worth something.
I'm afraid it is. Of course, I said we'd want to talk with the young lady before we come to any decision.
Naturally.
I thought you might do that, Arthur.
I'd be glad to, sir.
From what I gather from Mr. Santley, she's not an intellectual bombshell. You'll have to handle her with tact.
I'll try, sir.
Also, it's possible that she's merely an adventuress who met Charlie on one of his business trips and is trying to cash in on a good thing.
But you said he wrote her a letter.
Oh, yes, he did. You know, in many ways, Charlie was a brilliant man. But when it came to women...
Oh, that's often the way, sir.
Yes, I'm afraid it is. No man who has $1 million ought to be allowed to write anything but business letters. Especially after age 40.
All right, now. Now, where did you meet him, Amy?
I met Charles at the Club 16 in Los Angeles, where I was fulfilling a singing engagement.
Oh.
And what's wrong now?
You're reciting it like you were reading it.
Well, I did read it off that paper you gave me.
I know you did, Amy, but the idea is...
Try once more.
No. I can't take any more till after I eat.
I'm sorry, Oliver, but once I learn about me and Charlie...
No, that's it. That's the way to say it. You and Charlie. That actually sounded as if you were his girlfriend.
It did?
Certainly. Now, what you have to do, Amy, is believe this. Think of the exciting places Charlie took you, how much fun you had together, how sweet he was. How one night you drove out to Palm Springs, and he said...
Gee, Amy, I sure would love to see you in a natural silver blue mink coat.
Amy, Charlie was a romantic guy, not a walking bank account.
Couldn't he express his romantic feelings in a practical way?
Come on, let's eat.
Oh, I'll get it, Oliver. Honest, I will. When do I have to see the lawyer?
In a couple of days.
Could we have chop suey tonight, Oliver? If they have chop suey in Texas.
They have everything in Texas.
Yeah?
Everything, especially money. And I'd like very much to get my hands on some of it.
Although there were very few leads on Santley, we did get some encouragement when one of his victims gave us a business calling card that Santley had left while posing as a lawyer. The address on the card was a non-existent number on a street in downtown Chicago. But we figured that something must have prompted Santley to name this street, so we began checking. With Santley's photograph, we canvassed every building on the street. In a nightclub, we finally came up with something.
Let me see that picture again. Yeah, that's him, the big blowhard. What's he wanted for?
A swindle.
I knew it. If I told her once, I told her 100 times, this guy is a phony. Lay off.
Told who, Mr. Grogan?
Her, Amy, that dumbbell. But oh, no, he's distinguished looking, she says. And I say...
Who is Amy, Mr. Grogan?
She used to sell cigarettes here. She was so dumb, I was keeping an eye on her.
I see.
No, you don't. This was strictly on the up and up. I'm not the marrying kind, but if I had have been...
I gather this young lady...
She did. He called for her one night a year ago, and she just never came back.
Have you any idea where they went, Mr. Grogan?
Sure I have. I could practically give you a map. Every couple of months, she sends me postcards. Dear Eddie, wish you were here. Love, Amy.
We'd like to see those cards, Mr. Grogan.
I tear them up. Every time I get one, I'm so mad, I tear it right up. But the last one was from Dallas, Texas.
How long ago was that?
I don't remember. A couple of weeks, maybe more.
You think she's still with Santley?
All she says on the postcards is, Dear Eddie, wish you were here. Love, Amy. She puts a T on wish.
But you're sure the last one was from Dallas?
I'm positive.
Mr. Grogan, do you happen to have a picture of the girl?
Yeah, I got one. Yeah, but look, she's a good kid. I don't want anything to happen to her, except she should learn a lesson.
With the cooperation of the Dallas police, we began an intensive search of the city. We didn't know, of course, that Santley was working on a swindle in nearby Fort Worth, and that the former cigarette girl, Amy, was playing a leading part in it.
And then when Charlie never wrote again, well, I just sat in my room and waited and waited.
I know how you must have felt, Miss Harmon.
It was just awful.
I'll bet.
I waited and waited and waited.
I'll bet.
You want to know any more?
No, I think we have all the facts. We didn't want to bother you, but I'm sure Mr. Santley explained...
Yeah, he did. I said, I don't mind talking to someone like you, Mr. Winters.
Well, thank you.
I always admire lawyers. They know everything.
Well, not quite.
You're kind of young to be a partner and all, aren't you, Mr. Winters?
Well, I'm 34. That's not very young.
That's practically a baby.
Do you think so?
Charlie was 49.
Yes, he was.
He worked too hard, didn't he?
I'm afraid so.
You shouldn't work so hard, Mr. Winters.
Oh, I'm afraid that's the nature of our business. But look, I don't have to work so hard that... Like, I couldn't take a client. Well, you aren't exactly a client, but, well, whatever your legal status, would you like to have lunch with me, Miss Harmon?
Now, Act Two of tonight's story, Dumb Luck.
With pictures of Santley and Amy Harmon in the hands of every law enforcement agency in the vicinity of Dallas, Agent Reynolds and I began checking the fanciest hotels and night spots. Santley liked to be seen spending money in the best places.
And then I thought we might go to the Blue Palms for dinner.
Hmm? Oh, I can't, Oliver. I gotta eat with Mr. Winters.
Oh, you do?
He says he better talk to me again.
He talked to you yesterday.
I know.
And the day before that.
Yeah, I know. He says there are a couple of things he wants to clear up.
I see.
You said I should go along with him, didn't you, Oliver?
Yes, I did, and you've gone along very nicely, Amy. But now I think it's time you return to California.
I don't know anybody in California, Oliver.
Amy, dear, you're not actually going there. You're just telling Mr. Winters that. Now, you've handled your end of the deal beautifully. Now, I come in and clean up.
Oh. Oliver?
Yes?
You could get put in jail for what you were doing, couldn't you?
Now, what brought that up?
Nothing. I've just been thinking, that's all.
Oh, you have?
You don't think I can think, do you?
Of course I do.
No, you don't. But Mr. Winters says I'm very perceptive.
You're what?
What does that mean, Oliver?
It means that Mr. Winters doesn't know trouble when he sees it.
As is often the case, our big break in the search for Santley came from an unexpected source. An elderly man who worked in the back newspaper room of the Dallas Library saw Santley's picture in the post office and called at our Dallas office.
And he came into my room 3 or 4 times for a back copies of the papers.
Do you know what he was looking for, Mr. Harris?
Yes, sir, I do, because I helped him. He said he was doing a magazine article on Mr. Charles Emmett and how Mr. Emmett made all that money in oil.
Is that the man who died just about a month ago?
Yes, sir. He was only 49. He dropped stone dead in his office chair. A sad commentary on the hurly-burly of modern living.
Yes, it is.
I'm 77, and I weigh exactly the same as I did the day I graduated from high school.
Well, that's remarkable. Now, could you tell us, Mr. Harris?
I attribute it mostly to a substantial breakfast and at least one egg a day.
Mr. Harris.
Sometimes 2 eggs.
Mr. Harris, do you happen to have a copy of the paper on the day Emmett died?
Yes, sir, we do.
May we see it, please?
Oh, of course. Sit down, gentlemen. It'll only take a minute.
How do you figure the angle, Steve?
Well, if he could have swindled a dead man, he certainly would have. But barring that...
The dead man's estate.
It's as good a guess as any.
Yeah. Now, where does this cigarette girl fit in?
Amy.
Yeah. What about Amy Harmon?
Miss Harmon?
Yes?
Did you enjoy your steak?
It was delicious.
You didn't eat very much.
I'm not hungry.
What are you thinking about, Miss Harmon?
About last night, when you were asking me what did I want most of anything.
Oh?
I used to think that if I had a mink coat, I wouldn't want anything else in the world. Now, all of a sudden...
Yes?
I don't know what I want.
Oh.
Except maybe a vacuum cleaner.
A vacuum cleaner?
Yeah. Don't ask me why. I don't know. What do you want, Mr. Winters?
Me?
Yeah.
I want you to have dinner with me again tomorrow night, and the next night after that...
I can't. I'm going back to California.
What? But, Miss Harmon, Amy, you can't go so soon.
I got my ticket already. I'm going in the morning.
We've got so much to talk about.
Yeah, I know.
Stay one more week.
I can't.
3 days.
I can't, Mr. Winters.
My name is Arthur.
I can't, honest Arthur. I'd like to,
Amy,
but
stay one more day. There's something very important I want to ask you, but there are other considerations relating to a family situation and certain people who... Amy, stay one more day.
Well?
Please, Amy, just 24 hours.
Well, I guess I could stay that much. 24 hours couldn't hurt anybody, could it?
Within 24 hours of our visit to the library, we were in the offices of Gordon and Winters, the law firm which was acting as executor of the Emmett estate. We gave Mr. Gordon the facts on Oliver Santley and his partner, Miss Amy Harmon.
I'm afraid my partner, Mr. Winters, is going to be very upset about this. He seems to have developed a genuine affection for this young lady.
We've only seen her picture, but she's obviously attractive.
Oh, quite, and warm-hearted. Matter of fact, I rather took to her myself. She reminded me of... Well, never mind. That's immaterial.
Where is Mr. Winters now, Mr. Gordon? We'd like to talk to him, too.
Well, now, I'm sure this won't surprise you, but he happens to be with Miss Harmon right now. She was supposed to return to California today, and Mr. Winters persuaded her. Oh, poor Arthur, he's really going to take this hard.
Do you know where they've gone, Mr. Gordon?
Yes, I told him to go out to my country club. We have a swimming pool out there and an excellent kitchen, and my partner, Mr. Winters, is 34 years old, and as far as I know, has been extremely shy of women. Oh, this is going to be... Yes?
Dudley?
Arthur, where are you?
In my office, sir. I just got in.
I thought you were out at my club.
I was, sir, but now I'm here in my office.
Well, come right in now, will you, Arthur? This is important.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is very peculiar. Gentlemen, do you mind if I...
You handle it any way you want, Mr. Gordon.
Thank you very much. I just wish I knew the, what there was to handle it. Oh, Arthur, come in, come in. Arthur, this is Agent Stevens and Agent Reynolds of the FBI.
FBI?
Yes, I'm afraid I have bad news for you, Arthur. Miss Harmon...
She already told me, sir, on the way to the country club.
Told you?
Yes, sir, the whole swindle. She couldn't go through with it. When she got through telling me she had such a headache, we stopped at a drugstore for aspirin. She went in the front way and out the back. I've been looking for her all day. I suppose you gentlemen...
They are.
I don't feel very well, sir. In fact, I'm going to be quite ill. Will you excuse me for a moment?
Of course.
I'll be right back.
Mr. Gordon, we're going to pick up Santley. The girl might warn him.
Yes, I think that would be advisable. Oh, poor Arthur. He's really taking it hard, isn't he?
We picked up Oliver Santley at his hotel, and several days later we found Miss Harmon after she'd gone to Chicago to get back her old job. Miss Harmon was arrested and remanded to jail to face formal charges. During the first day in jail, she had a visitor.
Oh. Oh, Arthur.
Good morning, Amy.
Arthur, what are you doing here?
With your permission, Amy, I'd like to represent you in this action.
What's that?
I want to handle your case as your lawyer.
Oh, Arthur.
That is, if you're not already represented.
I'm not represented.
Good. Then let's go over the details so that...
Arthur, you didn't have to do this.
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yes, I think undue influence has been brought to bear on you by Mr. Santley, and that you were coerced into this act, which I feel I can convince a jury was and is repugnant to your nature.
What does that mean, Arthur? You can get me off?
I'm going to try.
Oh, Arthur, I think I'm going to cry.
Well, that's all right. Go right ahead. We have half an hour.
Oh, Arthur.
Oh, you poor kid.
Am I?
I think so.
Oh, Arthur. Arthur.
Yes?
Do you want to kiss me?
Yes, but not now, Amy. First, we've got to figure out what we're going to tell the jury.
Miss Amy Harmon, ably defended by her lawyer, Arthur Winters, was given a one-year suspended sentence by a sympathetic judge. But Oliver Santley, whose long record spoke for itself, was sent to a federal penitentiary for 5 years. We haven't checked up on Miss Harmon since the case, but we feel sure she's still enjoying dumb luck. In tonight's story, Terita Bauer played the part of Amy Harmon. Martin's name was Arthur Winters. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is Warren Sweeney inviting you to listen to next week's story, The Ugly Duckling, on the FBI in Peace and War.